This is the Golf Hour
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's your host, Will Doctor.
And nice to have you aboard on a Saturday morning. 1 week out from the British Open, we have three simply outstanding leaderboards heading to the weekend. I mean, you start with the Scottish, and I mean, you have Masters champion, Grand Slam champion, Rory McIlroy, in a tie for the lead with Tom Kim, who is due for a win. Jordan Smith also in a tie at the top of the Scottish at 9-under. Jordan Smith, in his first year on the PGA Tour off the DP World Tour, he's put up some commendable finishes throughout the year. Top 20 in Phoenix, top 5 in Tampa, top 20 at the elevated event in Harbortown, a top 15 at the Charles Schwab at Colonial. Jordan Smith, he's had a commendable rookie year on the PGA Tour. He is a two-time DP World Tour winner, so he has gotten it done two times across the pond where they currently are now. They're in North Berwick at Renaissance. So, you know, Jordan Smith, someone you have to take seriously going to the weekend. But this is just a star-studded leaderboard at the Scottish. You know, Tom Kim, as we talked about, very due for a win. Third at the U.S. Open. 24 years old, three-time winner, a couple top tens here over his last six starts. This is a great leaderboard from the sense that obviously Rory is the top name here. He's going to have plenty of work to do over the next 36 holes. You have Tom Kim to deal with. Matthew Fitzpatrick is one back, arguably one of the hottest players in the PGA Tour this year with three wins, and with the way he's rolling the rock and the way he's improved his putting with Phil Kenyon. You know, you have to think that he, you know, is someone, when you talk about this last major of the year, he came into this week, Fitzpatrick, second in Canada, 22nd at the U.S. Open, fourth at the Travelers. You know, Matthew Fitzpatrick has to be super motivated to try to better his major championship results this year, next week. You know, three-time winner, but when you look at his major championship results, 18th at Augusta, had a terrible putting week at the Masters, tied 14th at the PGA Championship, which was solid around Aronimink, 22nd at the U.S. Open. These are all major championship results that 99% of professional golfers would take. Who would not take it is a Matthew Fitzpatrick, who right now, you know, top five player in the world, number four on the official world golf rankings. He is looking to break through for his second major championship here very soon. You look at his results at the Open over the years, has been a very solid links golfer. But when you talk about Roel Birkdale, Open returning there for the first time next week since 2017, when Jordan Spieth won his last major, and when Jordan Spieth was, you know, telling Michael Greller to go get the ball out of the hole after rinsing 60-plus footers. Now, I'm jacked up for Roel Birkdale. Fitzpatrick, he finished 44th there last year, and we'll get to more on the Open preview a little bit later on. See, you know, we look at the Open that year. Spieth won at 12-under. Rory finished 7 back at 5-under. We're going to have an incredible final major of the year. A huge shocker that world number one Scottie Scheffler missed the cut at the Scottish. I had him winning the Scottish this week. He was my only outright. And Scottie packing his bags, looking into earlier travel to Birkdale, as he said in the presser. We'll get to that later on. But yeah, probably the two most shocking miscuts. Let me just give you some shocking miscuts here at the Scottish. Scottie Scheffler, Brooks Koepka, Xander Schauffele, who is a past champion at the Scottish, Ludvig Åberg missed the cut, Patrick Cantlay, and Bernd Wiesberger both went from a share of the lead after 18 to missing the cut. And we have some history on when the last time that happened. I'm going to get you that a little bit later on. I think it's been 5 or 6 years since we have had a solo 18-hole leader completely leak down his pants on day two and miss the cut. Patrick Cantlay and Bernd Wiesberger both did that. I'll get you when the last time that's happened a little bit later on. At the alternate, and we'll get to more on the Scottish, other notable chasers, you have Chris Goddard up there at 7-under, 2 back. We saw what happened last week at the John Deere Classic. Goddard up. He had contended at that event over the years. Went into the final round, 5 back of Lucas Glover. He put the stranglehold on Lucas Glover and Ben Coles in the big spot. Like Goddard up is some kind of boa constrictor. He was 5 shots back, Goddard up was, going into the final round at the John Deere last week. Glover was unable to keep it going with the putter, and Glover's back on top at the ISCO, which we'll get to. Certified veteran, looking for another win. Ben Coles, a KFT winner this year, I believe he went to Auburn, but he has been full-time on the PGA Tour here over the last 5 years, lost his card going into this year. Ben Coles now trying to get back on the PGA Tour. He could have taken Goddard up to a playoff last week. What Coles did on the 72nd hole, hooking his iron shot into the water, all he needed was par to advance into a playoff with Goddard up. Birdie would have won it. But Goddard up was able to have the low final round at the John Deere, come all the way back and win again. When you look at Goddard up, that was his 5th PGA Tour win last week. And being the defending champion at the Scottish, this on his game right now, and only 2 back heading into the weekend, as a player who not only won the Scottish last year, but also went ahead and contended at the British Open, we're going to have to watch out for him. Not only does he have a great chance to come back on this leaderboard, he feels like he's lurking. He told the press after round 2 that he's lurking. He's going to have an excellent chance at Royal Birkdale next week. Chris Goddard up is. Now, Goddard up 2 back, 7 under. Wyndham Clark, U.S. Open champion, 3 back of Jordan Smith, Tom Kim, and Rory McIlroy. You got Patrick Reed there, 4 back. A lot of commendable chasers. I think that's really where the line ends, though. I mean, Patrick Reed at 5-under. Let's see who else. Henny Duplessis, 4-under, no. Justin Thomas, 4-under. He's never really had a great result at the Scottish Open, but Justin Thomas is 4-under. Only 5 back. He always has a 63 in his back pocket. I am super impressed with the pop and sizzle and the fight back of one Tyrrell Hatton. I don't think there's a live golfer who has more pop and sizzle than Tyrrell Hatton. You look at his first round, Hatton, and he's at 4-under, 5 back, tied 25th. He started triple bogey his first hole of the tournament. He was 3-over through 1 to start this tournament. Shot 3-over 38. He started on the back Thursday, shot 3-over 38. Makes the turn, birdies 3, 5, 7, and 8. Unfortunate bogey on 9, but went out in 3-under to shoot even par in that first round. Well, it could have been a 5 or 6 over first round. Hatton then turns around yesterday, shoots 66, and all of a sudden he's right back in this tournament. I like Hatton to continue to climb the leaderboard. But I think that is where kind of the line is drawn as far as, I think there's a couple 4-unders that could get to content. Ryan Fox, 4-under. There's a couple 4-unders. Justin Thomas, Ryan Fox, and Tyrrell Hatton are the 4-unders who could go ahead and get back in this golf tournament. Over at the ISCO, Lucas Glover has a 2-shot lead. He is looking, 46-year-old, looking for his 6th PGA Tour win there at Hurstbourne. You're entertaining chasers there. You have Stephen Fisk, PGA Tour winner there, at 2 back at 11-under. Jung-Hwan Ko is full-time on the DP World Tour. And for the DP World Tour players who did not qualify for the Scottish, they come over and they play the ISCO, because obviously if you win, it comes with a 2-year PGA Tour exemption. Sort of like Alex Fitzpatrick at the Zurich, one with Matthew. Got the two-year exemption. That's why these DP World Tour guys are over here at the ISCO this week, stateside. Jung-Won Ko, 28 years old. You know, he contended at the French Open. He is the one who finished one back of Michael Kim at the French Open last fall. You know, the other really big name there at the Steven Yeager PGA Tour winner. He is within five the lead. You know, Preston Stout, amateur, five under, great player. What happened to Jackson Koivun here? What happened to Jackson Koivun? Jackson Koivun is in a tie for 31st at five under. In his second week out of turning pro as the number one amateur. And, yeah, it's been a surprising, you know, first six rounds here on the PGA Tour for Koivun. Once again, won five times in his final year of college at Auburn. And his final start as an amateur at the end of June. He finished 23rd at the U.S. Open. And he has now gone, you know, he missed the cut at the John Deere last week, a tournament he finished top five at last year. And this week, little improvement on that, at least made the cut at the ISCO, 67, 68 to start. You know, as far as Koivun's chances to get back in this golf tournament, eight back with some great talent ahead of you. Lucas Glover ahead of him, Steven Yeager ahead of him. You know, how about Aaron Wise, three back at 10 under? You know, Aaron Wise, one-time PGA Tour winner who has basically been making his way back the last 2 years on the PGA Tour after taking a year off. To try to get right from a mental health perspective. Aaron Wise, you know, former Oregon standout, like Wyndham Clark. Aaron Wise was, you know, at this point in his career, 30 years old when he was coming out of college. A lot of people would have had him as a now five-time PGA Tour winner, major champion. But the, you know, the mental health break there in his late 20s, hats off to him for taking it. But it has taken him some time to get his game back. You take a year or two off. I mean, you see what happens with you saw what happened with Sung Yul No when he had to go serve for the Korean military. Just had to take a year off, and he comes back, and a year off is a long time in golf. You know, it's not like MJ taking a year off to go play baseball. Golf, a lot more touch and feel. You can lose the short game quickly. You can lose the ability to make birdies very quickly. So hats off to Aaron Wise, coming back from a mental health break in contention this week going into the ISCO. That's a story I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to seeing how that pans out. And Zach Blair, probably another one, seven back, but he's been contending a lot lately. Ninth at the John Deere, was there for a while at the Deere. You know, as far as the ISCO, I do see... You know, you have a guy at the top leading by two, Lucas Glover, who, you know, just does not falter often, knows how to close. If he can continue to get the putt, keep the putts going with the broomstick, he is going to be in good shape for that seventh PGA Tour win. And then at the Blue Championship on the Korn Ferry Tour, you know, the local Texas story, and this is something everybody needs to be keeping an eye on, Tommy Morrison, former Texas standout, in a share at the top of the leaderboard at 12 under. I believe he is only, he is two starts in to his professional career coming out of University of Texas. And what a start he has had. Made his debut in Amarillo at the AccuNet, finished tied 10th there. And then finished tied 5th at the Memorial Health Championship last week. So top 10, top 5, now tied for the lead. They're going into the weekend at the Blue. They're in Colorado, at TPC Colorado, and a lot of talent atop that leaderboard. Luke Kucheski, he is the son of PGA Tour winner Scott Kucheski. Now, is it Scott? Let me get this right. Who is Luke Kucheski's dad? Give me a second here. Is it Scott? Yes, it is Scott. It is Scott Kucheski. Yeah, Scott, journeyman on the PGA Tour and Korn Ferry Tour. Super cool that his son Luke is out there now. And then, of course, Cole Sherwood, One of the more promising players on the come up right now. One on the Corn Ferry Tour 5 events ago at the Colonial Life Charity. So he's going to have something to say there heading into the weekend at the KFT. But Tommy Morrison, without a doubt, story of the weekend as far as if you're someone in Texas that keeps an eye on these KFT leaderboards, that is who you're rooting for going into this weekend. Hey, here's a break. I got to tell Houston golf fans, one of the most prestigious amateur championships in the world is coming back to Texas. The 2026 Spirit International Amateur Golf Championship takes place November 9th through the 14th at the number one ranked golf course in Texas, Whispering Pines Golf Club in Trinity. The Spirit brings together the best amateur men and women from 20 countries in a 54-hole Olympic-style competition featuring both team and individual gold medals. And if you follow professional golf, you already know the legacy. You want to know who was the star player for Team USA in 2024 at the last Spirit? It was Tommy Morrison leading in a share of the lead going into the weekend at the Blue there in Colorado. Other past Spirit competitors, Scottie Scheffler, Jordan Spieth, Travelers champion Victor Hovland, Rose Zhang, Lexi Thompson. They were all competing at Whispering Pines before they became major champions and global stars. And it's funny, I was at a wedding last night here in Massachusetts, talking golf with a couple of the fellas. And what do you know? Someone comes up to me. I'm halfway across the country. Someone comes up to me. Oh, you're from Texas? Have you ever heard of Whispering Pines? I hear it's the number one place in Texas, and it's in contention as number one in the United States. I said, absolutely, you have to get down there immediately. And so what you also need to do, if you go get down there, play Whispering Pines in Trinity, Texas, but also come out and watch the Spirit. I mean, this is a special opportunity. Number one, if you just want to watch, hey, who is the next generation of superstars, not only in the U.S., but from around the world, the international competition, you can only find it at the Spirit, number one. And number two, you know, if you have a business, a product that you are trying to get in front of the next generation of superstar talent, as far as the PGA Tour, DP World Tour, LPGA Tour, Epson Tour, the Spirit is the place to come. Opening ceremonies begin November 10th, tournament rounds running through Thursday through Saturday, with closing ceremonies taking place on the 14th. And it is bigger than golf. All around, it is much bigger than golf. It is hosted by the Spirit Golf Association. This championship supports critical charitable initiatives in healthcare, education, and food programs, with more than $13 million contributed to date. It's the 2026 Spirit International, bringing the world's best young players to Texas and putting Houston at the center of global amateur golf. Learn more at www.thespiritgolf.org. Once again, that is www.thespiritgolf.org. We'll be right back.
This is the Golf Hour
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Will Doctor.
How about this for Grand Slam champion Rory McIlroy? He has played all 14 rounds of his career at Renaissance Club in the 60s. He has never shot 70 or worse at the Renaissance Club. This guy, and I told you before the week started, once again, if you're just joining the show, I had Scotty to win this tournament. Scotty missed the cut for the first time in a while. We will get to world number one. We will hear his post-round two presser. And hats off to Scotty for talking to the media after the missed cut and did a class job doing so. We're going to hear from that in a bit. We've been critical on the show throughout the year, you know, and this has been a very, this is what the media has gotten wrong with Scotty this year. This has not been a bad year for world number one Scottie Scheffler. You know, I know he's only had one win at the Amex in Palm Springs way earlier this season, but the number of top tens and top fives and the way he's barely ever been out of contention, and for basically big media week after week to say what's wrong with Scotty when he's still top fiving has been a disgrace. It shows you how many people don't know how to properly cover the game. What I have been critical of when it comes to Scotty is the various instances where little things don't go his way, and you know, we've started to see some some frustration at the next level. You know, the back and forth with Sobel at Augusta, getting a little testy with the media scrum. You know, we saw him, you know, start throwing balls in the water at Bay Hill, not talking to media after, in his mind, bad rounds when he's just shot even par one over. We've been critical of that. For him to speak with the media after the miscut, I thought his words. You know what? Let's just go ahead and run it, Johnny. Here was Scotty on missing the cut at the Scottish this week. He currently, when you look at his streak of made cuts, Scottie Scheffler had the longest active streak, 78 made cuts in a row on the PGA Tour. That has come to an end. His last miscut prior to this week was the 2022 FedEx St. Jude Championship, 1,428 days ago. Will Zalatoris won that tournament. Will Zalatoris, who doesn't have any discs in his back anymore all these years later. This was a special run for Scotty. Obviously, we are in a time where we have signature events that don't have cuts, and so it's not as impressive as some of the historic made cut streaks where in the former eras where you had cuts every week versus now where, you know, when you look at signature events, a lot of the tournaments don't have cuts, and Brian Rolup has promised to change that in 2028, bringing cuts back to the cuts are going to be at every Challenger Series event, but they're now going to be back at the championship level series. All tournaments will have a cut. Here was world number one Scotty Scheffler on missing the cut at the Scottish.
I mean, I got off to a tough start, and then back nine, I just felt like I wasn't hitting it close enough to give myself, you know, enough opportunities. I mean, I think that's really kind of what it comes down to. Just got off to a poor start, and then after that, I just didn't really hit it close enough to give myself a bunch of looks, and yeah, that's how you shoot over par. You know, I felt like I struck it better on the back nine, but I just wasn't able to. I kept sitting there at, you know, like good shot into 12, 25 feet, good shot into 13, get the kind of a gust there, 14, good shot, but still 20, 25 feet. Same thing on 15, and then 16, I felt like I hit a good shot, and you know, just catches the upslope there, and then I'm in a pretty tough spot to get up and down, and hit two really nice shots, and just didn't hold the, you know, putt just didn't go in, and then, you know, like the eighth hole, I hit the fairway, and I'm in a divot, and it's like, you know, sometimes, and then like the ninth hole, felt like I hit it pretty solid, and just hits that upslope short, and just dies, and then, you know, I think it probably had a chip down in, so, overall, just not quite good enough. You know, just like I said, I just felt like I was hitting a little too far from the hole, and wasn't holding any of those putts. So a little different than I was planning. So I guess, you know, figure out how I'll get down to Birkdale and then kind of go from there.
Figure out how he gets to Birkdale. Scotty, let's just be real. You're firing up the jet. You'll be at Birkdale in no time. In all seriousness, though, this is what I did not see coming from Scotty this week. You know, when you look at Scotty at Renaissance Club and his history here over the years, you know, he had, you look at the, his lot, 2023 tied third, 2025 tied eighth. He has hit the ball amazing here over the years. The weather on Thursday and Friday was tame compared to normal windy and rainy Scottish conditions. What I did not see coming was a poor ball striking week. Like, Scotty actually rolled it nicely at the Scottish over the last 2 days. He hit the nail on the head. He hit the ball nowhere close to the cup out of the fairway with his second shot, and that was the issue. That's why Scotty Scheffler got stuck at even par and couldn't get anything going. I have to say, the rest of his game, the driving, the chipping, the putting, it all looked sound. Scotty just did not get what he needed to out of his second shot, which is usually the best in the world. His standards, the way he struck the second shot, the approach shot over the last 4 years has been Tiger-esque, as we've talked about. On the other side, we'll hear from Rory McIlroy, who is in a share of the lead at the Scottish alongside Tom Kim and Jordan Smith. And Rory, let me tell you something. He has the driver working at a special level, not only with distance but accuracy as well, and he is putting. This is some of the best putting he's done in his career, what you're watching right now. You look at his last 6 weeks, and he is putting at a very elite tick, which over the years has been his weakness. His two weaknesses over the years, driving accuracy, putting. Rory has both of those things clicking right now. It would not surprise me at all if Rory picked up another Scottish Open win come Sunday. This is the Golf Hour with Will Doctor. We'll be back after this break.
You're listening to the Golf Hour
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Will Doctor.
All right, starting with the, and we're going to get to Rory McIlroy here in a second. You're going to hear his thoughts on how Friday got tougher, but his game got better. Rory McIlroy, the Grand Slam champion in cruise control. I'm really fired up for Birkdale next week. I mean, I think, I was at a wedding last night, as aforementioned, and you know, a lot of people coming up to me, hey, who's going to win the Open? What do you think? And I don't know how right now at this second you could say anyone else but Rory McIlroy. You know, this is a guy who wants to add, of any of the majors, he wants to add a couple more claret jugs. And what you have to understand with Rory is that, you know, he's going to have his weeks in the United States, you know, tied 32nd at the U.S. Open, tied 12th at Memorial. You know, had a solid weekend at the PGA, the backdoor top 10 at Aronimink. You know, he has not, how do I put this? Since his second green jacket, he has played commendable, but doesn't have a top 10 since the in four events since the Masters win. And really, it was what a run into Augusta it was for Rory. I mean, had to withdraw from the Arnold Palmer because his back was acting up. He gave it a run at the Players and finished tied 46th, and then walks in and then spends 2 weeks at Augusta before the tournament and runs it right back. It was one of the most incredible things I've ever seen. Now, I say all this to tell you, you know, I think Rory has another gear in the tank when he is playing back home across the pond. I think as the years roll on, and as we see the PGA Tour start to evolve with the minimum required tournament for the elite player probably going out the door, Rory's not going to have a tournament minimum here in the States. I've said this the last 2 years. I've said this since Rory completed the Grand Slam. I think you will slowly start to see the amount of golf tournaments he plays in the States lower and lower and lower as the latter half of his career moves on. I think we're seeing Rory in a third or fourth prime right now. I think Rory's about to probably re-apex again at Royal Birkdale next week. You know, when you look at who else is going to be in the conversation there, who's going to have a chance, you know, we talked in the last segment about Scotty. I am happy and I still feel good about Scotty's chances at contending, being that he rolled it well this week. Now, I know Scotty said, I haven't been 100% sharp this year, and everything's still positive, but it just hasn't been on that extra sharp side. I wouldn't rule Scotty out of the Open next week, but you look at some of the favorites. You know, John Rahm, you know, we talked about him Tuesday, really has been unable, besides the PGA, to get himself involved in the big spot on Sunday. You know, Matthew Fitzpatrick's going to be there. You know, Sam Burns will only be there if it's a calm week. I don't see him contending in any crazy conditions once we get the weather report. Wyndham Clark is one of the hottest golfers on the planet right now. I mean, he's sitting three back at the Scottish, and he's contended at this tournament over the last two seasons. You get Wyndham Clark's last four Scottish Opens. 2022 finishes tied 16th. 2023 tied 25th. 2024 tied 10th. 2025 tied 11th. Sitting three back going into the weekend. Wyndham Clark, fresh off the win, he's won twice in his last five starts in Dallas at the U.S. Open. Finished tied fifth the week after the U.S. Open at the Travelers. You know, you're looking at Wyndham Clark could go win an Open this year. But the other stars, I mean, Ludwig, miscut this week. You know, who were some of the other – we talked about this in the first segment. Brooks Koepka miscut this week. Xander Schauffele miscut this week. I was shocked that PGA champion, former Scottish Open champion Aaron Rye missed the cut this week. So it was, I will say this, it was easier conditions the first 2 days at Renaissance. And if you did not keep up on the greens, you were simply going to get left behind. The wind did pick up a notch yesterday yesterday during really through the entirety of Friday. It got tougher. Rory and Fitzpatrick, along with Jordan Smith, they stepped up their game. So did Tom Kim. Here was Rory on how that second round at the Renaissance played.
Yeah, I thought I played well again. The wind definitely got up for us in the afternoon wave, and got off to a really nice start. And then sort of by the turn, the wind had got to its strongest, and it felt like it was hard to get the ball close to the pins. And we were all sort of just making a lot of pars out there, and it would have been nice to, be a couple better. But it's obviously another solid day, and obviously in a great position going into the weekend.
How important is patience here? Because it's a course you can't really start to take too many risks on, can you?
No, not really. There are some where, depending on the wind direction, the course plays quite differently. The wind direction was pretty much the opposite of what it was yesterday. So you can be, more aggressive off some tees, but then less aggressive off others. So, but it is. I think we have this win for the rest of the week. So definitely played a bit different, but it feels like you try to make your score on the front nine in this wind and then sort of hang on the back.
How much are you enjoying the creativity and imagination needed to unlock this firm, fast links course?
Yeah, it's great. It's the way you want to play links golf. The weather has obviously helped that. And, you can be creative around the greens. You can be creative with, the way you play your second shots into the greens. You can be creative off the tee, hitting it low and trying to get run out of the fairway. So it is. It's a very fun way to play.
How excited to have the opportunity to contend again at this championship? We've had so much success already.
Excited for the weekend. A lot of great players up around the lead. Bob rallied on that back nine to get himself into contention for the home contingent. So, it's going to be a great weekend, and, excited for the opportunity.
All right. So, I would not be fading. Really, I wouldn't fade Rory going to the weekend. Tom Kim, admittedly, he's got a lot to prove over the next 2 days. Tom Kim is a great links golfer, 24-year-old who has already won three times, knows how to get it done. I just would not be going against Rory McIlroy and Matthew Fitzpatrick heading into this weekend with how they've played. There are some interesting numbers. Chris Goddard, 11-1, only two back as last week's winner and someone who won the Scottish last year. Chris Goddard after round two, he said he feels like he's in a good spot to lurk. And he feels like, he can absolutely become the first player to successfully defend the Scottish Open. Robert McIntyre, past champion here, who went neck and neck with Rory in 2023. Bob was asked if the higher winds and rain would change his approach over the weekend starting today. Already had a bit of a fog delay this morning. You're going to get some rain. And Bobby Mack said, absolutely not. I'll just put a jacket on. The ultimate Scottish answer. Bobby at 17-1, two back, not a bad number. Sudarshan Yelamajaru, 61-1, heading into the weekend, two back. I have lost trust in Sudarshan's iron play over his last two or three events. It just has not been all that sharp. Maybe the Lynx golf, it's bringing out Sudarshan's creativity. Homegrown golfer, knows his own move, does not need a coach. Sudarshan 61-1. I'll pass on that going to the weekend. Victor Perez 45-1, two back. You know, former DP World Tour great, now on the LIV Circus, has contended here or there throughout this year. Nothing going on Victor Perez going into the weekend. I think you just have three incredibly strong names atop there, Rory, Tom Kim, and Matthew Fitzpatrick. And same going on at the ISCO with Lucas Glover. I will tell you a fun bite at the ISCO. You know, Chan Kim, who has been back and forth off the PGA Tour, he's in a tie for second at the ISCO. Chan Kim held the solo lead after 18 and 36 holes at the ISCO last year. Ran down his pants a little bit on Sunday, eventually finished tied 14th, but finished tied 10th here 2 years ago. Chan Kim, as far as chasers on Lucas Glover's tail, that would be a cool story if Chan Kim could get some vengeance from last year, get his first PGA Tour win there at Hurstbourne. We got to take a quick break. This is the Golf Hour with Will Doctor. Back after this for the last segment.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? Download it now in your app store.
Hello, Houston. Looking for a crisp, refreshing beer with real taste and no junk? Try 8 Elite Light Beer, the new light beer from Hall of Fame quarterback Troy Aikman. It's brewed with just water, malt, and hops. No additives, no sweeteners. With only 90 calories and 2.6 carbs for a clean finish that you'll love. Right now, Woodrow's is pouring 8 on top of the Woodrow's Edo. Off St. Emmanuel, perfect for game day, perfect for the World Cup final, happy hour, or just kicking back with friends, watching a Stros game. Go grab one at Woodrow's, or have 8, whatever you're feeling. And if you're staying in, pick up a case at HEB and keep the good times going at home. 8 Elite Light Beer, lose the additives, keep the taste, grab yours today.
The Golf Hour continues now on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Will Doctor.
All right, nice to have you aboard. We do have a Bobby McIntyre futures ticket for the Open Championship. I believe that's at 40-1. I think it's now available at 45. I think you can find a better number than that somewhere. But Bobby McIntyre, he told Today's Golfer this week that he said in this interview he would happily retire if he won the Open Championship. Here's the quote. I'll be honest. I could happily retire from the game of golf if I won a major. So, as far as the futures ticket, I see Bobby McIntyre as a guy who could win 2 or 3 majors in his career with how complete the game is. I like the way his game is coming around ahead of the Open Championship. And I think Roy Birkdale is obviously a great fit for his game. And you could see him win the Scottish come Sunday. He's only 2 back, and he is not. That is one guy on this leaderboard, even more so than Matthew Fitzpatrick, and of course Minwoo Lee, and maybe Goddard. I'm talking the level that Robert McIntyre, if he was in the final group on Sunday with Rory, he would be afraid of nothing. He will look Rory in the eye. And he will not back down from anything, as we saw at the 2023 Scottish in the playoff. I don't want to fade, like I said in the last segment, not fading Tom Kim or Rory or Fitzpatrick this week. But as far as, hey, Will, who do I watch over the next 2 days to prepare for the Open? It's Robert McIntyre. Let's get you a call. Timmy Time is on the line. Tim, what's up?
Looks like we have a great action in Scotland on a great Saturday morning. Fog's still hanging away, but looks like golf's back into action after about an hour and a half delay.
Yeah, Tim, I don't know which leaderboard I like more. I think I will have to pick the Scottish. I am very interested to see if Lucas Glover can keep the putter rolling. He is bogey. You know, Lucas Glover, Timmy, bogey-free through 36. For the second week in a row. I mean, are you kidding me? And he's an established PGA Tour winner. I mean, he knows how to get it done. But as you know, it's all about the putter for Lucas. And I could see him going the distance as long as that doesn't become a scoring fest where he has to do a lot of work with the putter. But let's talk about the Scottish, Timmy. What's on your mind?
If you had told me this time last week that Scottie Scheffler would not be playing the weekend, but Juice Luton and Nikolai Van Housen from the
Danny Willett
would be in the top 10.
I mean, Danny Willett's coming off a withdrawal at the BMW International last Friday, where he was slamming trunk Friday. Danny Willett is coming off two missed cuts and a withdraw and beat Scottie Scheffler by six shots over the first 2 days this week. Tim, what the hell is going on with that?
It's one of the most shocking 2 days of golf I've seen from Scottie Scheffler. And the people, we kind of, last year he won the British Open and people are like, well, maybe Scotty finally figured it out across the pond. Maybe he's figured out the flat stick across the pond. And after what we saw, I mean, first missed cut in 4 years, maybe he still has some issues across the pond. He's got to get straightened out.
Well, Tim, let's be correct here. Over the first 2 days, Thursday and Friday, it actually, if you go dig into the round, you know, he simply was not hitting that second shot close enough. You know, he wasn't giving himself those prime 10 to 15 foot looks enough. The putter actually cleared positive for 2 days at Renaissance for the first time in his career. It was the iron play that went negative, and let's see when the last time his iron play, when is the last time Scottie Scheffler's iron play went negative over the course of a tournament? Let me look at this real quick. It was the Arnold Palmer Invitational not too long ago, beginning of March. Holy cow. That is the only tournament in Scottie's last 25 starts he has gone negative with the iron play. The Scottish this week and then the Arnold Palmer at the beginning of March. Hey, Tim, I don't really see this tournament coming down to anyone else except Tom, Kim, Rory, and Fitzpatrick. And I got this feeling with the way that Rory is on with the accuracy and on with the putter. I'm just not sure anyone's going to be able to stop him. Are you gearing up on anyone, you know, to come from behind this weekend? Maybe top 10, you know, maybe Matti Schmid, maybe Mikkel Lindberg, maybe Henne de Plessis there at 400. Any of these DP World Tour unknown guys on your mind to kind of make a move early today?
There is one guy that if he comes out and fires a mid-low 60s round, which he's very capable of doing, he could be in the mix tomorrow, and that is Oliver Lindell. He's a guy, and I feel he's a pretty good course fit here, and he's been one of the most, if not the most, consistent DP World Tour golfer over the span of this season.
Tim, you absolutely nailed it. You look at Lindell, the Finn, you look at his three tournaments rolling into the Scottish Open. Second at the KLM, Tim, tied sixth in Italy, and then tied 13th last week in Munich. And, you know, a little bit of a flyer. I put him on a lineup, which who cares about the lineups? Should have had this guy to top 40 this week. Lindell, this is his first time playing the Scottish, but you know he knows he is a certified DP World Tour. At this point, 27 years old, he has been on the DP World Tour. Unbelievable. This is only his sophomore season, Tim. This is only his sophomore season on the DP World Tour. That's a great spot. That's a great spot, Tim. Lindell. Who is the other Finn? Sammy Valamaki is the other Finn I'm thinking of. Lindell is like he is like Valamaki's brother. But he's just Lindell, a stallion. I could see him making a move. That's a great that's a great call as far as a little bit of a sleeper. Who else? Victor Hovland, one over through 12 travelers. Eugenio Chikara, 2 over through 12 at even par. Tim, I have Eugenio to top 40. Okay? 2 wins in his last 3 events. I mean, what the hell is he doing out there right now? You think he's just out of gas on his 4th tournament in a row? He's nothing going with the flow, with the long broom putter. Yeah, that's gonna be a tough
one. Think he's just running out of steam, as we saw Casey Jarvis after he won 2 wins earlier this season. He kind of ran out of steam, and I think that's what we're seeing from Chikara right now.
It's just a tale as old as time, isn't it?
Reality. Yeah, unfortunately, but I think Chikara, he's a guy that people need to write his name down because and get familiar with, because there is a very good chance, almost guaranteed, that he will be playing on the PGA Tour next season.
Yeah, Tim, I could not agree with you more. He is a personality that the PGA Tour needs more of. He shows his emotions on the golf course. I love his golf swing. I love the way he eyes down every golf shot, kind of cocks his head like Arnold Palmer used to do, and he's just not boring, you know? It's funny, you go back to the 2022 Big 12 Championship at Whispering Pines, where Oklahoma State won, led by Chikara, and, you know, he took down that whole legendary University of Texas team with both the Cooties and Cole Hammer, and, you know, Chikara is just simply not afraid of anything. Tim, great call, by the way. And I hope everyone enjoys the weekend. We're out of time here. Hey, the bullpen with John Belmer and Sean Mapes is next. Stick around here on ESPN Houston and have a great weekend.
ESPN 97.5.